The sleigh soared into the snowy sky.
On the whole, I think that went very well, don't you?
Yes, master, said Albert.
I was rather puzzled by the little boy in the chain mail, though.
I think that was a watchman, master.
Really? Well, he went away happy, and that's the main thing.
Is it, master? There was worry in Albert's voice. Death's osmotic nature tended to pick up new ideas altogether too quickly. Of course, Albert understood why they had to do all this, but the master... Well, sometimes the master lacked the necessary mental equipment to work out what should be true and what shouldn't.
And I think I've got the laugh working really well now. Ho, ho, ho!
Yes, very jolly, said Albert. He looked down at the list. Still, work goes on, eh? The next one's pretty close, master, so I should keep them down low if I was you.
Jolly good. Ho, ho, ho!
Sarah, the little match girl, doorway of Thimble's Pipe and Tobacco Shop, Money Trap Lane, it says here.
And what does she want for Hog's Watch? Ho, ho, ho!
Dunno, never seen a letter. By the way, just a tip, you don't have to say ho, ho, ho all the time, master. Let's see, it says here... Albert's lips moved as he read.
I expect a doll is always acceptable, or a soft toy of some description... The sack seems to know. What have we got for her, Albert? Ho, ho, ho!
Something small was dropped into his hand. This, said Albert.
Oh.
There was a moment of horrible silence as they both stared at the lifetimer. You're for life, not just for Hogswatch, prompted Albert. Life goes on, master, in a manner of speaking.
But this is Hogswatch night.
Very traditional time for this sort of thing, I understand, said Albert.
I thought it was the season to be jolly, said Death.
Ah, well, yes, you see, one of the things that makes folks even more jolly is knowing that there's people who ain't, said Albert in a matter-of-fact voice. That's how it goes, master. Master?
No!
Death stood up.
This is how it shouldn't go.
The university's great hall had been set for the Hog's Watch Night feast. The tables were already groaning under the weight of the cutlery, and it would be hours before any real food was put on them. It was hard to see where there would be space for any among the drifts of ornamental fruit bowls and forests of wine glasses. The O-Guard picked up a menu and turned to the fourth page.
Course for mollusks and crustaceans. A medley of lobster, crab, king crab, prawn, shrimp, oyster, clam, giant mussel, green-lipped mussel, thin-lipped mussel, and fighting tiger limpet, with a herb and butter dipping sauce. Wine, Three Wizards Chardonnay, Year of the Talking Frog, beer, Winkle's Old Peculiar.
He put it down. That's one course, he said.
They are big men in the food department, said Susan.
He turned the menu over. On the cover was the university's coat of arms, and over it three large letters in ancient script. Eta, Beta, Pi.
Is this some sort of magic word?
No, Susan sighed. They put it on all their menus. You might call it the unofficial motto of the university.
What's it mean?
Eta, Beta, Pi. Bilious gave her an expectant look.
Yes?
Like... Eat a better pie, said Susan.
That's what you just said, yes, said the O-God.
No. You see, the letters are Ephebian characters which just sound a bit like eat a better pie.
Ah, Bilious nodded wisely. I can see that might cause confusion.
Susan felt a bit helpless in the face of the look of helpful puzzlement. No, she said. In fact, they are supposed to cause a little bit of confusion, and then you laugh. It's called a pun, or play on words. Eat a beta pie. She eyed him carefully.
You laugh, she said, with your mouth.
Only, in fact, you don't laugh because you're not supposed to laugh at things like this.
Perhaps I could find that glass of milk, said the O-God helplessly, peering at the huge array of jugs and bottles.
He'd clearly given up on sense of humour.
"I gather the Arch-Chancellor won't have milk in the university," said Susan. "He says he knows where it comes from, and it's unhygienic. And that's a man who eats three eggs for breakfast every day, mark you." How do you know about milk, by the way?
I've got memories, said the O-God. Not exactly of anything specific, just, you know, memories. Like, I know trees usually grow green end up, that sort of thing. I suppose gods just know things.
Any special godlike powers?
I might be able to turn water into an enervescent drink.
He pinched the bridge of his nose.
Is that any help? And it's just possible I can give people a blinding headache.
I need to find out why my grandfather is acting strange.
Can't you ask him?
He won't tell me.
Does he throw up a lot?
I shouldn't think so. He doesn't often eat. The occasional curry, once or twice a month.
He must be pretty thin.
You've no idea.
Well then, does he often stare at himself in the mirror and say, or stick out his tongue and wonder why it's gone yellow? You see, it's possible I might have some measure of influence over people who are hungover. If he's been drinking a lot, I might be able to find him.
I can't see him doing any of those things. I think I'd better tell you. My grandfather is deaf.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I said deaf. Sorry? Deaf. You know, death.
You mean the robes and the
scythe, yes, white horse, bones, yes, death.
I just want to make sure I've got this clear, said the O-God in a reasonable tone of voice. You think your grandfather is death, and you think he's acting strange.
The Eater of Socks looked up at the wizards cautiously. Then its jaws started to work again.
"Here, that's one of mine," said the Chair of Indefinite Studies,
making a grab. The Eater of Socks backed away hurriedly. It looked like a very small elephant with a very wide, flared trunk, up which one of the Chair's socks was disappearing.
"Funny-looking little thing, ain't it?" said Ridcully, leaning his staff against the wall. "Let go, you wretched creature," said the Chair, making a grab for the sock. "Shoo!" The Sock-Eater tried to get away while remaining where it was. This should be impossible, but it is in fact a move attempted by many small animals when they are caught eating something forbidden. The legs scrabble hurriedly, but the neck and feverishly working jaws merely stretch and pivot around the food. Finally, the last of the sock disappeared up the snout with a faint sucking noise, and the creature lumbered off behind one of the boilers. After a while, it poked one suspicious eye around the corner to watch them.
"They're expensive, you know, with the flax-reinforced heel," muttered the Chair of Indefinite Studies.
Ridcully pulled open a drawer in his hat and extracted his pipe and a pouch of herbal tobacco. He struck a match on the side of the washing engine. This was turning out to be a far more interesting evening than he had anticipated.
"We've got to get this sorted out," he said as the first few puffs filled the washing hall with the scent of autumn bonfires. "Can't have creatures just popping into existence because someone's thought about them. It's unhygienic."
The sleigh slewed around at the end of Money Trap Lane.
"Come on, Albert!"
"You know you're not supposed to do this sort of thing, Master. You know what happened last time."
"The Hogfather can do it, though."
"But little match girls dying in the snow is part of what the Hog's Watch spirit is all about, Master," said Albert desperately. "I mean, people hear about it and say we may be poorer than a disabled banana and only have mud and old boots to eat, but at least we're better off than the poor little match girl, Master. It makes them feel happy and grateful for what they've got, see?"
"I know what the spirit of Hogswatch is, Albert."
"Sorry, Master, but look, it's all right anyway, because she wakes up and it's all bright and shining and tinkling music, and there's angels, Master."
Death stopped.
"Ah, they turn up at the last minute with warm clothes and a hot drink."
"Oh dear," thought Albert, "the master's really in one of his funny moods now."
No, not exactly at the last minute, Master, not as such."
"Well?"
"More sort of just after the last minute," Albert coughed nervously.
"You mean after she's..."
"Yes, that's how the story goes, Master. It's not my fault."
"Why not turn up before? An angel has quite a large carrying capacity."
"Couldn't say, Master. I suppose people think it's more satisfying the other way."
Albert hesitated and then frowned.
"You know, now that I've come to tell someone, it..."
Death looked down at the shape under the falling snow. Then he set the lifetimer on the air and touched it with a finger. A spark flashed across.
"You ain't really allowed to do that," said Albert, feeling wretched.
The Hogfather can. The Hogfather gives presents. There's no better present than a future.
Yeah, but...
Albert!
All right, Master.
Death scooped up the girl and strode to the end of the alley. The snowflakes fell like angel's feathers. Death stepped out into the street and accosted two figures who were tramping through the drifts.
"Take her somewhere warm and give her a good dinner," he commanded, pushing the bundle into the arms of one of them. "And I may well be checking up later."
Then he turned and disappeared into the swirling snow. Constable Visit looked down at the little girl in his arms and then at Corporal Nobbs.
"What's all this about, Corporal?"
Nobby pulled aside the blanket.
"Search me," he said. "Looks like we've been chosen to do a bit of charity."
"I don't call it very charitable, just dumping someone on people like this." "Come on, there'll still be some grub left in the watch house," said Nobby.
He'd got a very deep and certain feeling that this was expected of him. He remembered a big man in a grotto, although he couldn't quite remember the face, and he couldn't quite remember the face of the person who had handed over the girl, so that meant it must be the same one. Shortly afterwards, there was some tinkling music and a very bright light, and two rather affronted angels appeared at the other end of the alley, but Albert threw snowballs at them until they went away. Hex worried Ponder Stibbons. He didn't know how it worked, but everyone else assumed that he did. Oh, he had a good idea about some parts, and he was pretty certain that Hex thought about things by turning them all into numbers and crunching them. A clothes wringer from the laundry, or CWL, had been plumbed in for this very purpose. But why did it need a lot of small religious pictures? And there was the mouse. It didn't seem to do much, but whenever they forgot to give it its cheese, Hex stopped working. There were all those ram skulls. The ants wandered over to them occasionally, but they didn't seem to do anything. What Ponder was worried about was the fear that he was simply engaged in a cargo cult. He'd read about them. Ignorant and credulous people, whose island might once have been visited by some itinerant merchant vessel that traded pearls and coconuts for such fruits of civilization as glass beads, mirrors, axes and sexual diseases, would later make big model ships out of bamboo in the hope of once again attracting this magical cargo. Ignorant is a state of not knowing what a pronoun is, or how to find the square root of 27.4, and merely knowing childish and useless things like which of the 70 almost identical-looking species of the purple sea snake are the deadly ones, how to treat the poisonous pith of the sago-sago tree to make a nourishing gruel, how to foretell the weather by the movements of the tree-climbing burglar crab, how to navigate across 1,000 miles of featureless ocean by means of a piece of string and a small clay model of your grandfather, how to get essential vitamins from the liver of the ferocious ice bear, and other such trivial matters. It's a strange thing that when everyone becomes educated, everyone knows about the pronoun, but no one knows about the sago-sago. And credulous is having views about the world, the universe, and humanity's place in it that are shared only by very unsophisticated people and the most intelligent and advanced mathematicians and physicists. Of course, they were far too ignorant and credulous to know that just because you built the shape, you didn't get the substance. He'd built the shape of Hex, and it occurred to him he'd built it in a magical university where the border between real and not real was stretched so thin you could almost see through it. He got the horrible suspicion that somehow they were merely making a solid sketch that was hidden somewhere in the air. Hex knew what it ought to be. All that business about the electricity, for example. Hex had raised the subject one night not long after it had asked for the mouse. Ponder prided himself that he knew pretty much all there was to know about electricity. But they'd tried rubbing balloons and glass rods until they'd been able to stick Adrian onto the ceiling, and it hadn't had any effect on Hex. Then they'd tried tying a lot of cats to a wheel, which, when revolved against some beads of amber, caused any amount of electricity all over the place. The wretched stuff hung around for days, but there didn't seem to be any way of ladling it into Hex, and anyway, no one could stand the noise. So far, the Arch-Chancellor had vetoed the lightning rod idea. All this depressed Ponder. He was certain that the world ought to work in a more efficient way, and now even the things that he thought were going right were going wrong. He stared glumly at Hex's quill pen in its tangle of springs and wire. The door was thrown open. Only one person could make a door bang on its hinges like that. Ponder didn't even turn round.
"Hello again, Arch-Chancellor."
"That thinking engine of yours working?" said Ridcully. "Only there's an interesting little..."
"It's not working," said Ponder.
"It ain't? What's this, a half holiday for Hogswatch?
Look,
said Ponder. Hex wrote, plus, 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 whoops, here comes the cheese, plus, 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 melon, 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 plus, 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 error at address, 14 Treacle Mine Road, Ankh-Morpork, plus, 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 exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, plus, 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 1111111111, plus, 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 redo from start, plus, plus, plus.
What's going on? Said Ridcully, as the others pushed in behind him.
I know it sounds stupid, Arch-Chancellor, but we think it might have caught something off the bursar.
Daftness, you mean? That's ridiculous, boy, said the Dean. Idiocy is not a communicable disease. Ridcully puffed his pipe.
I used to think that too, he said. Now I'm not so sure. Anyway, you can catch wisdom, can't you?
No, you can't, snapped the Dean. It's not like flu, Ridcully. Wisdom is, well, instilled. We bring students in here and hope they catch wisdom off us, don't we? Said Ridcully. Well, metaphorically, said the Dean. And if you hang around with a bunch of idiots, you're bound to become pretty daft yourself, Ridcully went on. I suppose in a manner of speaking. And you've only got to talk to the poor old bursar for 5 minutes, and you think you're going a bit potty yourself. Am I right?
The wizards nodded glumly. The bursar's company, although quite harmless, had a habit of making one's brain squeak.
So Hex here has caught daftness off the bursar, said Ridcully. Simple. Real stupidity beats artificial intelligence every time.
He banged his pipe on the side of Hex's listening tube and shouted,
Feeling all right, old chap?
Hex wrote, plus, 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 hi, mum is testing, plus, 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 melon, 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 plus, 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 out of cheese error, plus, 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 exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, plus, 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 Mr. Jelly, Mr. Jelly, plus, plus, plus.
Hex seems perfectly able to work out anything purely to do with numbers, but when it tries anything else, it does this, said Ponder.
See? Bursar disease, said Ridcully. The bee's knees when it comes to adding up, the pig's ear at everything else. Try giving him dried frog pills.
Sorry, sir, but that is a very uninformed suggestion, said Ponder. You can't give medicine to machines.
Don't see why not, said Ridcully. He banged on the tube again and bellowed, Soon have your back on your... Yes, indeed, old chap. Where's that board with all the letter and number buttons, Mr. Stibbins? Ah, good.
He sat down and typed with one finger as slowly as a company chairman. Deride fog half... pills. Hex's pipes jangled.
That can't possibly work, sir, said Ponder.
It ought to, said Ridcully. If he can get the idea of being ill, he can get the idea of being cured.
He typed, lots of dried frog per quarter ills.
Seems to me, he said, that this thing believes what it's told, right?
Well, it's true that Hex has, if you want to put it that way, no idea of an untruth.
Right. Well, I've just told the thing it's had a lot of dried frog pills. It's not going to call me a liar, is it?
There were some clickings and whirrings within the structure of Hex. Then it wrote, plus, plus, plus. Good evening, Arch-Chancellor. I am fully recovered and enthusiastic about my tasks. Plus, plus, plus.
Not mad, then.
Plus, plus, plus. I assure you I am as sane as the next man, plus, plus, plus.
Bursar, just move away from the machine, will you? Said Ridcully. Oh, well, I expect it's the best we're going to get. Right, let's get all this sorted out. We want to find out what's going on.
Anywhere specific or just everywhere? Said Ponder, a shade sarcastically.
There was a scratching noise from Hex's pen. Ridcully glanced down at the paper.
Says here... Implied creation of anthropomorphic personification, he said.
What's that mean? I think Hex has tried to work out the answer, said Ponder.
Has it, by gods? I hadn't even worked out what the question was yet.
It heard you talking, sir.
Ridcully raised his eyebrows. Then he leaned down towards the speaking tube.
Can you hear me in there?
The pen scratched. Plus, plus, plus. Yes. Plus, plus, plus.
Looking after you all right, are they?
You don't have to shout, Arch-Chancellor, said Ponder.
What's this implied creation, then? Said Ridcully.
I think I've heard of it, Arch-Chancellor, said Ponder. It means the existence of some things automatically brings into existence other things. If some things exist, certain other things have to exist as well.
Like crime and punishment, say, said Ridcully. Drinking and hangovers, of course.
Something like that, yes, sir.
So, if there's a tooth fairy, then there has to be a Veruca gnome. Ridcully stroked his beard. Makes a sort of sense, I suppose, but why not a wisdom tooth goblin? You know, bringing them extra ones. Some little devil with a bag of big teeth. There was a silence, but in the depths of the silence there was a little tingly fairy bell sound.
Do you think I might have, Ridcully began.
Sounds logical to me, said the senior wrangler. I remember the agony I had when my wisdom teeth came through.
Last week, said the dean and smirked. Ah, said Ridcully. He didn't look embarrassed, because people like Ridcully are never, ever embarrassed about anything, although often people are embarrassed on their behalf. He bent down to the ear trumpet again.
You still in there? Ponder Stibbons rolled his eyes. Mind telling us what the reality is like round here?
The pen wrote, plus, plus, plus. On a scale of 1 to 10, dash, query, plus, plus, plus.
Fine, Ridcully shouted.
Plus, plus, plus. Divide by cucumber error. Please reinstall universe and reboot. Plus, plus, plus.
Interesting, said Ridcully. Anyone know what that means?
Damn, said Ponder. It's crashed again.
Ridcully looked mystified.
Has it? I never even saw it take off.
I mean, it's sort of gone a little mad, said Ponder.
Ah, said Ridcully. Well, we're experts at that round here. He thumped on the drum again.
Want some more dried frog pills, old chap? He shouted.
I should let us sort it out, Arch-Chancellor, said Ponder, trying to steer him away.
What does divide by cucumber mean? Said Ridcully.
Oh, Hex just says that if it comes up with an answer that it knows can't possibly be real, said Ponder.
And this, rebooting business, give it a good kicking, do you?
Oh, no, of course not. Yes, in fact, said Ponder. Adrian goes round the back and, prods it with his foot, but in a technical way, he added.
Ah, I think I'm getting the hang of this thinking engine business, said Ridcully cheerfully. So it reckons the universe needs a kicking, does it?
Hex's pen was scratching across the paper. Ponder glanced at the figures.
It must do. These figures can't be right.
Ridcully grinned again. You mean either the whole world has gone wrong, or your machine is wrong?
Yes.
Then I'd imagine the answer's pretty easy, wouldn't you? Said Ridcully.
Yes, it certainly is. Hex gets thoroughly tested every day, said Ponder Stibbons.
Good point, that man, said Ridcully.
He banged on Hex's listening tube once more.
You down there!
You really don't need to shout, Arch-Chancellor, said Ponder.
What's this anthropomorphic personification, then?
Plus, plus, plus. Humans have always ascribed random, seasonal, natural, or inexplicable actions to human-shaped entities. Such examples are Jack Frost, the Hogfather, the Tooth Fairy, and Death. Plus, plus, plus.
Oh, them.
Yes, but they exist, said Ridcully. Met a couple of them myself. Plus, plus, plus. Humans are not always wrong. Plus, plus, plus.
All right, but I'm damn sure there's never been an eater of socks, or a god of hangovers.
Plus, plus, plus. But there is no reason why there should not be. Plus, plus, plus.
The thing's right, you know, said the lecturer in recent runes. A little man who carries verrucas around is no more ridiculous than someone who takes away children's teeth for money, when you come to think about it.
Yes, but what about the eater of socks?
Said the chair of indefinite studies.
Bursa just said he always thought something was eating his socks, and bingo, there it was.
But we all believed him, didn't we? I know I did. Seems like the best possible explanation for all the socks I've lost over the years. I mean, if they'd just fallen down the back of the drawer or something, there'd be a mountain of the things by now.
I know what you mean, said Ponder. It's like pencils. I must have bought hundreds of pencils over the years, but how many have I ever actually worn down to the stub?
Even I've caught myself thinking that something's creeping up and eating them.
There was a faint glingalingalingal noise. He froze.
What was that? He said. Should I look round? Will I see something horrible?
Looks like a very puzzled bird, said Ridcully. With a very odd-shaped beak, said the lecturer in recent runes.
I wish I knew who's making that bloody tinkling noise, said the Arch-Chancellor.
The O-God listened attentively. Susan was amazed. He didn't seem to disbelieve anything. She'd never been able to talk like this before, and said so.
I think it's because I haven't got any preconceived ideas, said the O-God. It comes of not having been conceived, probably.
Well, that's how it is, anyway, said Susan. Obviously, I haven't inherited physical characteristics. I suppose I just look at the world in a certain way.
What way?
It doesn't always present barriers. Like this, for example. She closed her eyes. She felt better if she didn't see what she was doing. Part of her would keep on insisting it was impossible. All she felt was a faintly cold, prickling sensation. What did I just do? She said, her eyes still shut.
You waved your hand through the table, said the O-God.
You see?
I assume that most humans can't do that.
No!
You don't have to shout. I'm not very experienced about humans, am I? Apart from around the point the sun shines through the gap in the curtains. And then they're mainly wishing that the ground would open up and swallow them. I mean, the humans, not the curtains.
Susan leaned back in her chair and knew that a tiny part of her brain was saying, yes, there is a chair here. It's a real thing. You can sit on it.
There's other things, she said. I can remember things. Things that haven't happened yet.
Isn't that useful?
No, because I never know what they... Look, it's like looking at the future through a keyhole.
You see bits of things, but you never really know what they mean until you arrive where they are and see where the bit fits in. That could be a problem, said the O-God politely. Believe me, it's the waiting that's the worst part.
You keep watching out for one of the bits to go past. I mean, I don't usually remember anything useful about the future, just twisted little clues that don't make sense until it's too late. Are you sure you don't know why you turned up at the Hogfather's castle?
No, I just remember being a... Well, can you understand what I mean by a disembodied mind?
Oh, yes.
Good. Now, can you understand what I mean by a disembodied headache? And then, next moment, I was lying on a back I didn't used to have in a lot of cold white stuff I'd never seen before. But I suppose if you're going to pop into existence, you've got to do it somewhere.
Somewhere where someone else who should have existed didn't, said Susan, half to herself.
Pardon?
The Hogfather wasn't there, said Susan. He shouldn't have been there anyway, not tonight. But this time he wasn't there not because he was somewhere else, but because he wasn't anywhere anymore. Even his castle was vanishing.
I expect I shall get the hang of this incarnation business as I go along, said the O-God.
Most people, Susan began. A shudder ran through her body. Oh, no, what's he doing? What's he doing?
A job well done, I fancy.
The sleigh thundered across the night. Frozen fields passed underneath.
Hmm,
said Albert. He sniffed.
What do you call that warm feeling you get inside?
Heartburn, Albert snapped.
Do I detect a note of unseasonal grumpiness? Said Death. No sugar piggy-wiggy for you, Albert.
I don't want any present, Master, Albert sighed, except maybe to wake up and find it's all back to normal. Look, you know it always goes wrong when you start changing things.
But the Hogfather can change things. Little miracles all over the place, with many a merry ho-ho-ho, teaching people the real meaning of Hogswatch, Albert.
What? You mean that the pigs and cattle have all been slaughtered, and with any luck everyone's got enough food for the winter?
Well, when I say the real meaning...
Some wretched devil's had his head chopped off in a wood somewhere because he found a bean in his dinner and now the summer's going to come back.
Not exactly that, but...
Oh, you mean that they've chased down some poor beast and shot arrows up into their apple trees, and now the shadows are going to go away?
That is definitely a meaning,
but I... Ah, then you're talking about the one where they light a big bloody bonfire to give the sun a hint and tell it to stop lurking under the horizon and do a proper day's work.
Death paused, while the hogs hurtled over a range of hills.
You're not helping, Albert.
Well, they're all the real meanings that I know.
I think you could work with me on this.
It's all about the sun, Master. White snow and red blood and the sun. Always has been.
Very well, then. The Hogfather can teach people the unreal meaning of Hogswatch.
Albert spat over the side of the sleigh.
Wouldn't it be nice if everyone was nice, eh?
There are worse battle cries.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Excuse me.
Death reached into his robe and pulled out an hourglass.
Turn the sleigh round, Albert. Duty calls.
Which one?
A more positive attitude would assist at this point. Thank you so very much.